Before we sing our opening hymn, we'll just bow in a word of prayer. And we'll ask God to bless us and to be one of our number tonight. Our loving Father, as we do come to you tonight, we do thank you for everything you've blessed us with. Our Father, we thank you for our friends and for our family. And for all the different things, Father, you've blessed us with. But our Father, most of all, we thank you for your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And how he went to Calvary and paid our price on the cross. Father, so that we could go free. And Father, we pray tonight, if there are any in the meeting who are unsaved, that Father, you would speak to them. That Father, you would meet them right at their point of their need. And that Father, you would save them from their sin. Our Father, we think of those who are meeting here backslidden. And Father, we pray that you will warm them up again. We pray, our Father. Our Father, we come tonight and we want to give you the praise and the worship from our heart. We want to give you it all, Father, because you deserve every bit of it. And Father, we pray that we would worship you with all of our heart. And that we would give you our all and not just our part. Our Father, we thank you for our salt choir tonight. Father, we thank you that each one of them has a testimony which they could give. And Father, we thank you that they all could stand up here and give their testimony. But Father, I thank you that they're here to sing your praise and your worship. Father, we pray for the one who will give a word of testimony later. And we pray, Father, you'll be very near to her and take all nerves away. Father, be very near to Pastor Philip tonight as he will come and bring your word. Father, we pray you'll speak to him. Father, we pray you'll speak through him to us as well. Father, we pray that you'll be one of our number tonight. We invite you here. We want you to come. Father, we pray you will bind the evil one. And Father, we pray we will have a covering of the blood tonight. And the Father, many will come to know you as their Lord and Savior. Our Father, continue with us now, we pray. For we ask all these things in your lovely name. Amen. Our opening hymn tonight, it's not in the hymn book, but it's not any number. It's in Christ alone. My hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. And we'll stand and sing, please, after the introduction. going to sing verse 3 again. Verse 3, please. There in the ground his body lay, light of the world by darkness slain. Then bursting forth with glorious day, up from the grave he arose again. Oh, we should be smiling and shouting as we sing it. Verse 3 again, please. Verse 3. Well, it's good there are salt choirs here tonight, and we're going to come now, we're going to sing two pieces. The first one's called Cornerstone, and then in between our first piece and our second piece, there's going to be a word of testimony. I'm not going to tell you who it is, a wee surprise for you. So we're going to sing Cornerstone's our first piece, a wee word of testimony, and then our second piece we're going to sing is Wonderful, Merciful Saviour.
I grew up in a Christian home, so from a young age I was going to Sunday school and Holiday Bible Club in GB, But then one time when I was in a holiday Bible club, when I was about 5, I remember they were talking about how if you didn't ask Jesus into your heart, you wouldn't get to go to heaven. And I remember going home that night and being so scared that my mum and dad were going to go to heaven and leave me behind. So I asked, that night in my bed, I asked Jesus to forgive my sins. And from then on, it's really encouraged me that to know that Jesus is going to be there for me during my exams and just any struggles in my life. And one of the verses that has really helped me is Philippians 2 verse 15, which says, "Live clean, innocent lives as children of God, shining like bright lights."
Thank you, choir. And again, we'll hear from you later on. Our next hymn then tonight is number 410. Number 410, "Years I Spent in Vanity and Pride, Caring Not, My Lord Was Crucified." And again, we'll stand and sing after the introduction, please. the choir's going to come and sing our final two pieces, The Splendor of the King, and then our final piece is I Have Decided to Follow Jesus. And of course, that's such a challenge to us all. Will we follow Jesus? And of course, the second verse says, though none go with me, still I will follow. The cross before me, the world behind me. And the final verse says, will you decide now to follow Jesus?
Rejoice, all the earth rejoice, give thanks and self and life.
on behalf of the committee, I do want to thank each and every one of the choir for the whole salt season this year, for coming out to choir practices, for coming out 5 o'clock and 4:30, maybe some of you arriving at 5:30, maybe a wee bit later, but it doesn't matter. We want to thank each and every one of you for all year, and for the ones who haven't joined the choir, we want to thank you too. It's been a real privilege for us as a committee to try to be a help and a leadership to you this past year. I'm going to call upon Pastor, I don't know why I call you Pastor Philip, Pastor Cameron, just Philip, maybe Phil, I don't know. But whatever, Pastor Philip, come and bring God's word to us.
Now, I don't want to give you nightmares, but can you imagine David Cameron on my knee? Well, you have to go back a few years, David. Do you remember it? Well, it was the first IFM camp that I ever was a leader at, and David was a wee snottery-nosed, freckly-faced, gurning child who was homesick on the first night, and I had to do my best to console him. And he stayed. But it is a joy to see those young people going on with the Lord. And I'm sure on that night I never would have visualized being speaking in Bali, but I never thought you'd be introducing me either. But lovely to be here. I've enjoyed the day, and I've been impressed by the young people and children who have taken part. So that will be a memory that will go with me. And congratulations to those who work all year with these young people and children and devote so much time. Now, we're going to turn in the Word of God to the Gospels and Luke's record. The Gospel by Luke and chapter 9. Luke's Gospel, chapter 9, and we'll begin in verse 51. And it came to pass, when the time was come, that he, that's Jesus, should be received up, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem, and sent messengers before his face, and they went and entered into a village of the Samaritans to make ready for him. And they did not receive him, that's the Samaritans, because his face was as though he would go to Jerusalem. And when his disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, Lord, wilt thou that we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them, even as Elijah did? But Jesus turned and rebuked them and said, ye know not what manner of spirit ye are of. For the Son of Man is not come to destroy lives, but to save them. And that's the text that I want us to take this evening. And if you fall asleep or hear nothing else after this reading, take verse 56 to heart. For the Son of Man is not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. Whenever we think of our lives or men's lives or people's lives, quite often we hear the people say, well, I want to really have a life, or I want to really live. Well, sometimes we have to ask ourselves, well, what is our life? And the Bible asks that question and answers it, because the question is answered in James, what is your life? And the answer is given, it is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time, then it vanisheth away. And we think so much and place so much importance upon our earthly life. And yet, the Bible's description of it, and it's a consistent description, is that it's a very fragile thing. It is just like a vapor, a warm breath on a cold day. You see it for a few seconds, and then it vanishes away. Go over to Psalm 103, and you'll see another description there of the frailty of life. And the psalmist says, we're like grass, and even the flower of the field, the wind passes over it, and it's gone. It's a fragile thing. It's a very, very brief thing. And whenever you look at your life in comparison to eternity, it is really a brief thing. You may live to 90 years or even 100 years. We have a man in our assembly, and he'll be 101 in September. And he drove to the meeting on his 100th birthday and drove his son to church that night. But even you live to that age and have your health, what is that in comparison to the endless ages of eternity. And yet so much focus is placed on time and on this life we're living here and now. Did you ever wonder why people's lives seem to be busier today than they've ever been in any other generation? Busy to the point that so many have no time to come to the house of God, and the gospel meeting is a forgotten meeting. Of course, that's a great tactic of the devil. And it's one that he's using to great effect in this generation. Keeping people occupied with this life so that eternal things never enter their mind and they're always on the long finger. But back to our text, it talks about our lives, people's lives. We've discovered that they're very brief, they're very frail. But the text says that Jesus has not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. Now, there are many things that destroy our lives. And first of all, I want us to think about things that destroy our lives that are beyond our control. I think about countries in our world where there is war tonight. I think about times even in our own land when there was terrorism. And people's lives have been destroyed through war and terrorism. And these are things that are beyond our control. We have no control over them. It's the society in which we live. And we may just happen to live in a strife-torn country. I remember when I was in employment going to do a home visit, and I called with a lady. And she lived in a place where there had been a flashpoint during the Troubles here in Northern Ireland. She had lost her husband to gunmen at the age of 25. And whenever I called with her, it was exactly 25 years later. She had been longer without him than she had him. And when I was shown into one of the rooms that we were looking at professionally, there was a gun beside the bed. Still living in fear. Still living under that shadow, still talking about her husband as though he had only gone yesterday, 25 years later. Her life destroyed, all her hopes dashed, and it was beyond her control. Well, there are many other things that are beyond people's control that ruin and destroy lives, and we're thinking about young people here this evening. We think about those who have been brought up under some form of abuse. It may have been verbal abuse that they've had to take. It may have been some form of bullying. It may have been physical, psychological, or sadly even sexual abuse. Beyond their control. But we're seeing time and time again that this is something that just doesn't go away when it stops. It's something that lives with people for the rest of their life. Their life destroyed, but destroyed by something beyond their control. Think about illness. We're here, and I suppose most of us in this building are here because we're in good health, because we've been given the health and strength to come out this evening. But there are so many, and they don't enjoy good health. I know some in this building, and how I know you is through working with DCF. Well, it's not just Christians who are disabled. Many people across our world have a disability. It's beyond their control. They could do nothing about it. Some have been born with it. Some have been disabled through some accident in life. It's beyond their control, but they feel that their life has been destroyed. What about age? You know, young people, you'll not always be young. Enjoy your youth, because it's just like life, it's very fragile and frail, and it will pass very quickly. Do what you can for Jesus now, because you don't know what the future holds for you. And eventually, age will take its toll. There will be a limitation. And the Bible says we all do fade as a leaf. Our lives can be destroyed by things beyond our control. But sadly, our lives can be destroyed by self-inflicted destruction. And that's why we come here this evening, to try and warn those who are starting out in life that this is possible. We try to warn you that others have taken this path and they have brought destruction on themselves. We are living in a generation, and even the media have put this label on it, and it's accurate. Generation excess. Generation excess. If you go to the book of Isaiah and you read in chapter 5 Isaiah's woes, you would think you were reading the paper today. Isaiah's woes, as he pronounces those woes on the nation of Judah at that time. But if you go down through them, you'll discover that there are references there to those who party and who party to get drunk, and they do it from early morning to late at night. There's no end to it. Generation excess. Those who have self-inflicted destruction through those things that come with generation excess. Alcohol abuse, drug abuse, promiscuity. Think of the prodigal son in Luke 15, and it was the elder brother who said he had spent all his living on harlots. And yet he was brought down to the level of pigs. Some also have come under self-inflicted destruction through living above their means, and now they're living under a terrible weight and an awful cloud of debt, with no hope of being free. Others, of course, have got into different traps that there are through various addictions, and gambling is one that's on the increase. Oh, things can destroy our lives that are beyond our control. We can do nothing about that. But there are many, many people, and it's been self-inflicted destruction that they've brought on themselves. We have the world, the flesh and the devil as enemies. The world is that which the enemy uses to tempt us, to draw us in. And that's an enemy. The world is an enemy to us, but the old devil's behind it. And all the temptations that come from the world, the pull, the draw, the bright lights. Then there's the devil himself, and what a tempter he is, what an enemy he is. But then when it comes to the flesh, that's slightly different. Because the flesh is when you and I, young people and older people, willingly open the door on the world and the devil. Self-inflicted destruction. But of course the ultimate destroyer is Satan himself. And Jesus says in John 10:10, the thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But I am come that you might have life, and that you might have it more abundantly, your life lived to the full. You know, God is the great creator. And Jesus, of course, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. There's nothing made apart from Jesus, the Word. He is the creator, not the destroyer. But of course, that's not what the enemy wants you to believe. He's the master of spin. We're living in an age of spin, of twisting around the facts to present something else. And it's the old enemy's job to do just that. And he has been a liar from the beginning. And he's the one who takes the wonderful creator Jesus and presents him as a destroyer, as a killjoy, as the one who's going to take away all your hopes of enjoying your youth, of enjoying life, of living life to the full. And the devil's going to work a spin in order to deceive you that is so. Remember preaching in the open air for several summers down in Newcastle over the 12th fortnight. And on one occasion we were low in number, and a local man was standing with us day by day, and we invited him to give his testimony. And John Thompson stepped forward, and after he had testified, he said this: I challenge those walking past today that if you have something better to offer me than what I've just described to you that I have, then come forward and tell me about it, because I'd like to know about it. Nobody came forward. I did the same day after day. I've challenged people in meetings and in the open air, at our drive-in church. I've said it over and over again. If anybody here has anything better to offer me than what Jesus has given to me, come forward. I've said the same thing to the cults as they've come to my door, and I've given them my testimony. If you've anything better to offer me than what I have, let me know. I've found no one yet who has anything better to offer me than what Jesus has given to me. And young people, you'll hear many things, but I would challenge you to try that. And you'll discover, as I have, that we have it all and more. And we've even more on before. Now, one lie that some people say the devil presents about the pleasures of the world is that it's lasting. Now, there is pleasure in the world. Absolutely, that's true. That part is true. But it doesn't last. We mentioned the Samaritan woman, the woman at the well. She thought she'd try relationships. But one after another, she was failed. And she was left ruined every time. And of course, that's how sin works. And that's the nature of sin. The nature of sin is that you always have to go a step further. And when something loses its kick, you have to go farther again. And it always takes you farther than you ever wanted to go. Oh, you know, many's a young person whose life is ruined and wrecked, if you were to ask them, oh, I never intended to be here tonight. But this is where I've ended up. There's no lasting pleasure. And it's an awful thing whenever pleasure turns to addiction. And then it ends up with a scream from within to be free, but you can't get free. And whenever all that pleasure then turns to pain, what then? Pleasure of the world, it's pleasure for a season, but it soon fades. Visiting a bereaved home this afternoon, there was a man there who's a pastor in England, and he was relating how the funerals are conducted over there. And as the remains are being lowered at the crematorium, they're playing the Grand National as the horses were going over the finishing line. That's the kind of thing that's happening at the end of life. And I was just sharing with that family today how in work we would have been in different homes. People who had built a castle for themselves. Their home was going to be everything. This is during the years of the boom. And we were in some beautiful homes. But my colleague and I, one day after 5 years in business, going round homes like these, we were just mentioning how there were so many people who were unhappy. And we sat down and together we compiled a list of people who actually broke down and wept with us as complete strangers. We were only in their homes on a business capacity. And they were just so glad to be able to open up to somebody and share the emptiness of it all. Beautiful homes. But that's all they had. There was nothing behind it. We were told things, personal things, things that on some occasions should never have left their own marital bedroom. And it was empty. It was sham. Oh, it was all an outward show. And they had nothing. Lies of the enemy. The carrot and the stick, but you never get the carrot. And that's what he's been tempting many people with for many years. Think of the temptation, the way at the very beginning, the temptation of Eve, where the devil turned around God's positives into negatives. And turned around God's negatives, you shall surely die, into positives. And that's what he's at today. And that's what he's doing in every way that he can to bombard young people with this misconception. And sadly, many are buying it. But Jesus says, the Son of Man is not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. In this short passage that we read together, James and John, because of the rejection of these villagers in Samaria, they felt that they should just call down fire as Elijah did and consume the people who rejected Jesus. Are you a Christ rejecter this evening? Is there somebody in this meeting, and this is not the first gospel meeting you've been in, you've been in many, and you found it easy to walk out the door? I find that sad. You've had no problem giving a benign smile to the pastor as you leave, and you've left trampling underfoot the precious blood of Jesus. And Jesus, in spite of the rejection, forbids James and John to think that way. And he says, I haven't come to destroy. I haven't come to wipe these people off the face of the earth. Or who would stand? But he says, I've come to save them. What a wonderful Saviour we have. Remember Jesus during his arrest and betrayal in the garden? Remember Peter? He takes out the sword and he cuts off the ear of Malchus, the high priest's servant. And Jesus says in Matthew 26, and we find these phrases between verses 49 and 54, then Jesus said unto Peter, put up again thy sword into his place. Thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels? But how then shall the scriptures be fulfilled that thus it must be? I love that old song, you know, he could have called 10,000 angels to destroy the world. But what did he do? He died alone for you and for me. He didn't come, you see, to destroy lives, but to save them. And in order to save them, he had to go all the way to Calvary, that thus it must be. There were things that Jesus did destroy. We read in Colossians 2 and 15 that he spoiled principalities and powers, and he made a show of them openly. You see, we're in the winning side. If you trust the Saviour this evening, you're not only on the winning side, you're on the side that has won. And Jesus is the captain of our salvation. And he's the one who will give you the power to live in this evil, sinful, corrupt world and to have more than you ever imagined. You'll have peace not only with God, but you'll have the peace of God. We talked this morning about things left behind. Something else Jesus left behind was this. He said, my peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you, because the world cannot give you peace. But Jesus can. Jesus came to save. Not to destroy, but to save. And he came right into the dominion of the destroyer. He came right to this world, right to where we were. I'm sure you learned in Sunday school the wee hymn, One Day. When heaven was filled with his praises, and yet one day when sin was as black as could be, Jesus came forth, right into the domain of the destroyer, and he came to seek and to save that which was lost. He came to give life, that we might have life and have it more abundantly. Some of you know that I worshipped in the Portrush Baptist Church until going into the ministry. And often as I would drive past the nightclubs there, I would pray, Lord, will somebody tonight be sickened in that place of their sin? Lord, let somebody be really sickened with the whole nightclub scene. It wasn't until a few years later that I heard that that prayer had been answered. A young man who's now a Baptist pastor was giving his testimony. And he talked about how one evening he was in Kelly's in Portrush. And he was just looking around him. And the thought came to him, is this it? And he was so disgusted by what he saw. And this was his life, mind you. This is the path he chose. This is the way he was going. And he looked around him and he just said, is this it? And he went out that night and he tells me that he left his coat behind and never went back for it. And he said, never again. Oh, that more would see that. Oh, that more would realise that. Oh, that the Lord would open more eyes. But sadly, I also know a friend who works with an outreach at the beach party that's sometimes held down in the East Strand in Portrush. Big outdoor concert. And Christians go in there and they go in to distribute leaflets about drug abuse. So they're very welcomed by the concert's organisers to do that. My friend and his team says, but we would also like to give a gospel tract. And they said, well, that's all right. We don't care what you do. So long as we're seen to be having people giving out drugs awareness leaflets. So they had a free hand to go in with the gospel. Do you know the sad thing? My friend said, more and more Christian young people brought up in Christian homes came up to us and says, I know what you boys are about. That's how I was raised. One young man even came up and he had run out of money for drink and whatever else. And he gave my friend his debit card to go to the hole in the wall and get more money. My friend says, how could you trust me to do that? He says, I know you boys. And that's sad. And these are people brought up in churches exactly like this. And maybe even living a double life. Because they're believing the lie of the devil. They're believing that somehow or other Jesus and following him and walking this way is to kill joy. We're missing something. And Jesus all the while says, the Son of Man is not come to destroy, but to save. He went all the way to the cross for you. Was that to make you miserable? Was that to make you live as a prisoner to some kind of religious system? He who has the Son has life. He who has not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth continually on him. Jesus said, the Son of Man is not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. And you can be saved right where you sit. Or if we can help you, please speak to us and we'll be glad to do that. May God bless his word to all of our hearts for his name's sake.
Well, we want to thank Philip for bringing to us God's word. Our final hymn tonight is number 399. Number 399, oh, what a wonderful, wonderful day. I will never forget. We'll just sing verses 1 and 3 of number 399.
Thank you.
Father, we thank you for that day when heaven did come down and when glory filled our soul. Our Father, we pray tonight that you will take your word and, Father, you will bless it and you will use it. And that, Father, you will speak to many, young or old, without Christ and without a hope. Our Father, we thank you for everything that has been said, sung or done in this place tonight. But Father, we thank you most importantly for your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and for a filled presence tonight. Our Father, part us with your peace. Give us journey and mercies as we travel home. But Father, we pray you'll continue to speak on and save in our midst. For we ask all these things in your lovely name. Amen.